The flashback is a storytelling technique that takes the narrative back in time. And the purpose of this is to inform the audience of an important piece of information that they need to know to understand the story. Something crucial to the telling of the story as a whole. In some movies, we start with an event and then we flash back to understand how we arrived at that event at the beginning. One of my favorite movies that uses this technique is the crime thriller The Usual Suspects. The movie revolves around determining who this character of Kaiser Sose is and who committed the crime. And as the movie draws towards its conclusion, we move past that event that we watched at the beginning and we move towards the dramatic ending. While Mark's gospel account is not a flashback, it does, in many ways, end where it begins. Jesus starts his ministry when he came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God by saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe in the good news." If that sounds familiar to you, well, it should, because in previous weeks we have just heard John the Baptist preaching that very same message. John the Baptist, who in the first verse of what we read this morning, we learn has been arrested and put in prison. Jesus picks up that ministry of repentance which John had started. A ministry that he started in preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Jesus starts his ministry in the shadow of the one who would pave the way. John was the voice in the wilderness, the one whom Isaiah said would prepare the way for Jesus. Now, we know what happens to John. Herod has him beheaded. And it's a story that we'll take a deeper look at another time. But consider this. John preached that message of repentance. Herod didn't like that message, and he had John arrested. And while he was arrested, as I said, John was killed. And then Jesus comes along and continues to preach a message of repentance. And we all know how Jesus' story goes. So ask yourself this. Why would you follow Jesus if you knew that the guy who was preaching the same thing before him was arrested? And why would you, sitting here today, follow Jesus knowing that Jesus was also arrested and executed? Now, the easy answer that we can give today is that, well, we understand and believe Jesus to be the Son of God, the Messiah. We have our faith in God, and we have scriptural witness, which attests to why we believe what we do. We know why we follow Christ. But why did Simon and Andrew, James and John, why did they follow Jesus? All we are told is that Jesus said to Simon and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." That's it. Follow me, and you can fish for people. It's a little ridiculous when you think about it. Give up your job, the means by which you make a living, and follow me. Jesus does a really bad job pitching this new ministry, I think. He just says, "Follow me." Most job offers that try to lure people in, they promise riches, quick promotions, living life in the fast lane. And if you don't believe me, do a quick search on get-rich-quick schemes on the internet. And of course, there's the rub. Jesus isn't promising riches. In fact, other than fishing for people, Jesus isn't promising anything to these guys at this particular time. Now, I'm going to state a disclaimer here. I don't fish. Logan's disappointed about this because he wants to learn, and he did receive a fishing pole for Christmas, so it seems that I may also have to learn. But as it stands, right now, today, I do not fish. I do not have the patience for it. Plus, when you get down to it, it's dirty, stinky work. I mean, think about it for a minute. When you fish, what do? What do you think of? You think of two old friends sitting in a boat during the early hours of the morning, enjoying the quiet of the day. At least that's how I see it in the movies. But what happens when you catch a fish? You need to reel it in. You need to fight the fish and pull it out of its natural environment. And then you need to hold the squirmy, slimy thing and remove the hook. And eventually, if you're not just going to throw the fish back in the water, if you're actually fishing to eat it, you need to clean the fish and get it ready for cooking, which is dirty, messy work. I mean, for some, it's a joyful experience. I'm just not one of those people. However, if this is what it means to fish, then what does it mean to fish for people? What does it mean to proclaim that the kingdom is at hand, to encourage people to believe in the good news? In short, how do we fish for people? What is our lure? How long are we willing to be patient before that lure sees its first nibble and the bobber goes down? Are we willing to fight as we draw in that line? Are we willing to adjust our tactics as we draw that catch in? And once we've brought the catch in, well, then what do we do? What do we do with this new disciple? How do we approach formation of faith? How do we prepare them to participate in the next fishing expedition? All questions which are essential to knowing how we are called into God's service. And I'll tell you that the session right now is actively working on discerning just how we can do these sort of things within Coburg and beyond. Not because we are not currently doing them, but because we want to continue to grow and share the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. And soon, we're going to be seeking your input into how we can grow as a community of faith and share the good news within our larger community. You see, the message that we proclaim is no different than the one that John and Jesus proclaim. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Which is to say, turn to God. Trust in the one who created you, who loves you, and who wants you to join him for eternity. People need to know this message. They need to know that the kingdom is real and that it is available to them. They need to see the possibilities that exist within God's kingdom. The truth is that people are looking for meaning. People are looking for joy. They are looking to be saved. And in a lot of instances, they're looking in the wrong places. We live in a society that is infatuated by distraction. Every year we have a new list of the hottest or the best new products, and the people who are out there, the celebrities we can follow, who will make us complete. We settle for the latest reality TV show and the distractions that are offered to us by a celebrity-crazed media. People believe that this entertainment can save us, that it can tune out a dark world that many people find frightening. And this is the world that we are trying to bring Christ's message to, a world which needs to hear this message, which is too afraid to trust and believe that this message could ever be for them. C.S. Lewis once wrote that we are far too easily satisfied. We live in a world which is easily satisfied, which is easily distracted. A world where no one is really willing to stick their neck out for anything. Once something becomes unpopular, too political, financially risky, or an endangerment to our own well-being, we're out. That's it. We're done. Friends, I wonder if Simon and Andrew, James and John, I wonder if they knew that John had been arrested. The scripture doesn't tell us if they knew that or not. I wonder if at that point in time, they knew what they were signing up for. Certainly Jesus knew, and certainly we know. We know the whole story, and we can follow it when scripture ends. We can follow it right down to this moment, right here in this place in St. Andrews. We can trace the history of this congregation. We can follow the history of the church, and we know how we got here. We know the story. We know the story, and we're still sitting here. We know that John was arrested and beheaded. We know that Jesus was arrested and crucified. We know the cost of following Jesus. We've read these stories. We know how they end. Mark's whole gospel unfolds under the shadow of John's arrest, a foreshadowing of sorts of what would happen to Jesus. We know these things. We also know that Jesus rose from the dead, shattering the power of death over this world and restoring us into right relationship with God. And so we know the promise that is realized in Jesus Christ. We know that the kingdom of God is at hand. We know the joy that comes in living our lives for God. And we know that this is true. And we are called to share our joy and our knowledge of this with others. We do this because we've seen the end. All that we have known, all that we are doing is a flashback for an ending that we have already seen. Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, and at the end of Mark's gospel, we are told that after rising from the dead, Jesus went ahead of the disciples, that he was waiting for them in Galilee. Waiting for them at the beginning of all things. Friends, we live secure in the knowledge of how the story ends. And our job is to share that story. So here's the ask. Who's going to join me on a fishing trip? Are you in? You guys in? silent crowd tonight, but I see heads nodding, so I'll take that. I'll take that. Amen. We'll go fishing together. Amen.